Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Philippians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege to come together to talk about you, to read from your word, to knowing that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of your word will come to naught. And Father, believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you have yourself descended with a shout, that your presence is here with us, Lord, the pillar fire is leading us to the millennium. When we see the great cloud of darkness, Lord, grasping and basically taking over the minds of the people, we're thankful that you have come as a light in this hour to shine upon us, Lord, to give light unto us in such a dark and dreary world. And Father, we just pray that you keep us in yourself, your presence, your token, which you have given us in this hour. And may that token be applied in our lives, in our fellowship, and in everything that we do, think, and say. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is speaking to the Philippians here, and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul praying and requesting to God with great joy in anticipation of their fellowship in the gospel. And so tonight I would just like to take a prayer meeting style sermon on fellowship and just talk a little bit about what fellowship is. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. Now, why did he pray for their fellowship in the gospel? What is so important about fellowship? Well, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and it means a communion or fellowship. It means a sharing in common. Remember, Brother Bosworth had mentioned to Brother Branham that fellowship is two fellows in a ship, having things in common, you see. It means communication also, because you can have two people in a ship, and if they're at each other's throats, there's not much fellowship in that ship. And that which is the outcome of fellowship, which is contribution. So we're looking at fellowship as a communion, it's a sharing, it's a communication, and it's a contribution. The word fellowship, or fellowship itself, comes by one avenue, and one avenue only, and that is having the same mind. And the only way we can have true fellowship is having the Word of God unbroken. In John chapter 14, Jesus tells us about this fellowship and how that we can obtain this fellowship. So if you turn with me to John chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 23 to verse 26. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but it's the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So notice Jesus tells us, in order that we would have fellowship with him and the Father, we have to keep his word. And when that word is broken, our fellowship becomes broken. Now, isn't that what fellowship is all about? Two fellows in one ship sharing life together, both the good and the bad. Well, doesn't the scripture say that when one is up, we should all be up? When one is down, we should all be down with him? You see, the body has many members, but it's still one body. Now, there are various different kinds of fellowship. In Philippians chapter 2, in reading from verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we see, in order to have fellowship of the Spirit, there must be a one mind. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, we're told that there is a fellowship of his sufferings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul talks here about the fellowship of his suffering. What was that all about? Does that mean that we could enter into his suffering, or enter into an understanding of his suffering, of why he suffered? Does it mean we're to be like the nuns and put have kneelers that have little ribbons of metal on them, so that, you know, or wire strands, so that we can kneel on them and become very uncomfortable while we're praying? Or does that simply mean to enter in and understand why he suffered? We sing the song, I was in his mind before Gethsemane. I was in his mind when he climbed those steps to Calvary, because he loved me, because he knew me. And then we find in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, the fellowship of the mystery of Christ. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, in reading from verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So we have the fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of his sufferings, and the fellowship of the mystery of Christ. In 1 John 1 and 1, we're told how we can enter into that fellowship. Now, we're told in John 14 how we can dislocate ourselves from that fellowship. But in John 1 and verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, 1 John 1 and 1, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, well, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. And if you truly are in communion with one another, have all things in common, you're in communication with one another, and you're helped to contribute for the betterment of one another, then we're truly in a state of fellowship. The problem that I see in this hour is that people want fellowship without the word, and you can't have that. You can have you can have fellowship with devils, but the Bible says not to have fellowship with devils. You see, We'll get to that in just a moment. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 17 through verse 23. For we being many as one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which ate of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? Wherefore say I then, that the idol is anything, or that that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Excuse me, 17. But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man's and other's wealth. Now, that doesn't mean that you should have your hands out trying to get everybody else's wealth. What that means is that you should be looking for your brother to be doing well. You should be looking out for him just as much as you're looking out for yourself. That's what true fellowship is all about. True fellowship is not as it was in the days of Judges, where every man went to his own corner. We read last week that God basically rebuked the people for putting forth their own before they put forth the house of the Lord. And it just seems like in this hour we have such a spirit upon the people that they cannot give God their best. They kind of want to give him what's ever left over. How can you enter into fellowship with God if you don't give him your best? From the message oneness, Brother Rasmussen, now the first human beings disfellowship themselves from believing God by disbelieving his word and listening to the lie of the devil. Now that's the first thing that disfellowshipped this wonderful union. Now look, Adam and Eve, in a position to never die, in a position to never be old, to never be sick, to never have a worry. And you say, I sure wish that I could be like that. Well, I got news for you. You are in the same position. God places that to every creature on the earth in the same position. Do you realize that we are a privileged people? Because we are a people who shall not die. We have a promise that in this hour, this age, will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yet why does the churches sit empty? The Spanish believed in a thing called the Fountain of Youth. They searched all over South America. They searched through all over Florida. Ponce de Leon came searching for the Fountain of Youth. Men would encompass the world looking for something that would keep them young. And yet we have a promise that we shall never die. Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath, past tense, passed from death into life. And yet Brother Branham said, America has turned the gospel down. He said they would much rather stay home and watch I Love Lucy than come to church and worship. Brother Branham also said from the message oneness, what was the agreement? If you'll keep my words, if you'll keep it, believe it, and act upon it. But the very first time that Eve disbelieved, took one word away from what God said, it broke off fellowship with that great union. And the minute that the church disbelieves any one word of God's Bible and places it somewhere else, then they break off that wonderful fellowship that's offered to them and to be separated. As soon as she did that, death set in her mortal being. not only her mortal, but her spiritual being. She broke off relationship with God the minute she disbelieved. And no man can believe, here it is, no man or woman can believe the devil's lie until they have disbelieved God's truth. No one can believe the devil's lie until they have disbelieved God's truth. So you see, Eve, Adam, where it places us this morning. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God is calling us, if we are going to have fellowship with Him, and Him be our Father, we have got to cut ourselves off from the things of the world, and from those that are of the world. Two fellows in a ship. Which ship are we going to sail? From Ephesians chapter 5, if you turn with me. Paul says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Now what are vain words? Something that's in vain. Remember Jesus said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. What does the word vain mean? Jim?
Empty.
Empty. Good. Ron, what do you think? Serves no purpose. I remember years ago, I told one of the young boys in church, I asked him the same thing. I said, what does it mean in vain? He said, I don't know. I said, well, if I were to ask you to paint the wall there and I handed you a can of paint and you just took the can and you, and I said, apply it to the wall, and so you took the can and you rolled the can up and down the wall, I said, what would that be? He said, useless. I said, exactly, you got the point. In vain means useless. And in Philippians, he says, it's useless. In vain did they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now in Ephesians, he says, let no man deceive you by vain words, useless words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That word partakers is the same word companion. It also means to have fellowship. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and right wiseness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, show them where they're wrong. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We see then that by believing the same thing actually brings us into common ground, and that is the land of promise, which is Christ. So then to believe the same gospel brings us together. Then to disbelieve the same word brings separation. In fact, the scripture says that very same thing. As we read, be not ye equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath right wiseness with unright wiseness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? So we see that we are to be gathered together, but not just for a gathering's sake. In Malachi chapter 3, and reading from verse 16, to verse 18, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, How often is often? Once a week? Twice a week? How often is often? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. That word before is the Hebrew word improsthe. It means in his presence. So a book of remembrance was written in his presence for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I like what Brother Branham said to Brother Vail about a month before he died. He said, Lee, I've come to the place where all my thoughts are God. I wish that we could all say the same thing. From the very moment you wake up to the very moment you go to bed, all your thoughts are God. David, he was a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says, I have set the Lord always before me. David said this. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, because he's my power, I shall not be moved. Therefore shall my flesh rest in hope. Have we set the Lord always before us? Do we talk to him daily? Daily. Do we talk to him every minute, every hour? Every decision you make, are you talking to the Lord? Wanting his will, wanting his way. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous, the rightly wise, and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Until you began to talk this word, you weren't sure who was serving God and who wasn't serving God. In fact, let me just say this. You probably were in the position where you thought the guy that you were sitting under was serving God. But you weren't sure because he surely wasn't preaching what God was preaching. But you were afraid to say he wasn't serving God. Or afraid to even declare it in your mind, thinking maybe you're sowing discord. I know because I've been there. But they that talked the word, they that thought upon the word, they that spoke one to another often, the Lord hearkened, heard it, and did something for them. He gave them a discernment. And that discernment began to grow as the more and more they talked the word, the more and more they exercised their mind concerning the word of God, the greater the discernment grew. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous, the rightly wise, those that have a right understanding, those that have a right mind, those that do right, because he that is righteous doeth what is right. Then they'll know who's doing right, and they'll know the motives, and those who are not serving God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. What amazes me more than anything is that in 1974, there was a massive move of the Holy Spirit in America, and people came into this message left and right. By the hundreds. And I ask the question, where are they today? Where are they today? The 70s was filled, the churches were bringing in sinners. Today you can't get a person to come to church that's been in the message for 20 years. And my question is, as Omega is a repeat of Alpha, as Alpha has become Omega. Brother Branham said there must be another Ephesians, and he said the word Ephesians means relaxed and drifting. Therefore, if we've got another Ephesians, we also have another relaxed and drifting, where people aren't conscious. They're not conscious of their drifting. Blind, miserable, naked, don't know it. But I believe with all my heart there will be those that will struggle through the lack of fellowship, that will struggle through the slander and the mudslinging because they stand for the truth. And they will not allow themselves to become hardened, but will keep themselves supple in their spirit. Because you see, as He is, so are we in this world. He came to His own. What happened? What's the next verse? His own what? Received Him not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Brother Branham said about Jesus' ministry? He said God capped His ministry by what? Anybody tell me? How did God cap His Son's ministry? By a total rejection of it. How does God cap a ministry that is one with Him? By total rejection. Those that had been with Him for 3.5 years, in John chapter 6, the 70, they said, well, these words are hard. When Jesus said the Son of Man must ascend where He came from. Didn't He come from Bethany or Bethlehem? Wasn't His parents Joseph and Mary? Well, we know where He came from. He said, you think that's tough? Unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood. And they said, ooh, the guy's got to be a vampire. Brother Brown said, He didn't explain Himself. And then He turned to the 12. And He said, you going to reject Me too? And Peter said those most notable words. He said, where are we going to go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And you would have thought that Jesus would have broken under that and said, oh Lord, I'm thankful I got a handful here. But what did Jesus do? He turned to them. He turned to Peter and looked right at him. Because Peter had just said those most notable words. And he said, one of you is a devil. One of you is going to betray me. Peter, you're going to betray me 3 times. But one of you is going to turn me over. One of you is a devil. Now those words to say to, you know, when you're trying to hold on to what fellowship you do have, are those words to say to the people? But you know what? Jesus said, those aren't My words. Those are the Father's words. It's the Father that speaketh, and the Son speaketh hitherto. Wow. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, Jesus says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist. But he that cometh after Me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in His hand. And He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner, but He will burn up the chaff, not His chaff, but the chaff with unquenchable fire. We find also this great gathering, which is fellowship, in Ephesians chapter 1. And reading from verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. And who is He? He's the Word. So that He might gather together in one, in the Word, all that are in Him. Brother Branham said there's going to be a great gathering. They said, Brother Branham is going to be in Tucson. He's going to be out in Arizona. He said, don't say that. He said, people are saying that the rapture is going to take place in Arizona. He said, don't believe that. He said, because if you come out here, if you follow Me out here, He says, you make Me a false prophet. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, you make me a false prophet, because the Bible says, lo, he be in the desert, go not. Remember, Jesus said that. They said, where will it be? Where will the proofs be? Where will this gathering be? He said, Matthew 24. He said, there will be many false Christs arise, and shall deceive many. And he says, though he be in the desert, go not there, or go not forth. For as this lightning lighteneth out of one part of heaven unto the other part, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. So shall the coming, the parousia of the Son of Man be. So it's not going to be just one place. It's a universal thing. And then Brother Brown said, yes, we will be gathered together in one place, and that's in the Word. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And remember, Brother Brown said, every time the trumpet sounds, the gospel trumpet, it declares war. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Hallelujah. I believe that's happening today. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. Mark 13, 27. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And Luke 3 and verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather his wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So we see the early apostles coming together in an atmosphere of sharing. They came together, they gathered together, they came together in an atmosphere of sharing of a necessity. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 we read, then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now my question is this, 3,000 souls were added on the day of Pentecost. Where were those 3,000 souls 30 years later, when there was only 8 at Ephesus? The church in Jerusalem had fled. And so where were they? And that's a lot of people. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice number 1. They continued steadfastly. What does it mean to be steadfast? Miguel, steadfast. Enoch, to be steadfast. What do you think? Huh?
To be steadfast.
Yeah, to be steadfast. Jim?
Steady, faithful,
good. They continued steadfastly. They were faithful in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Fear, what kind of fear? A reverential fear of God. They really begin to understand God, who He is, that He's alive. He's not just some figment of our imagination. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When? After the atmosphere of a reverential fear came upon every soul. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat with meat their gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He didn't add those that shouldn't be saved. Now, the more they sought the power of God, the more they assembled to fellowship around the doctrine. And the more they assembled around the Word, the more power of God began to display itself among them. Notice, the more they sought the power and presence of God, the more they assembled themselves for fellowship around the doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and prayer. And the more they assembled around the Word, the more power of God began to display itself among them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In reading from verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him. That means to be fertilized. In all utterance, that word is logos, and in all knowledge, gnosko. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, in no charisma, in no spiritual endowment. That, in other words, you're not lacking mentally or spiritually. Waiting for the coming, that's the apocalypse, the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said that the Spirit of grace will come upon the people. Let's read again. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all logos and knowledge. In other words, God fertilizes. And why do you put fertilizer on a seed? To make it a mature plant. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, established in you, so that you come behind in no gift, in no endowment, waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also establish you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, for called to the fellowship of His Son, notice he says then in verse 9:10, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can we be conformed to the fellowship of His Son? By having the mind of the Son. And what was the mind of the Son? He said, the Son can of Himself do nothing, but what the Father doeth, that the Son doeth likewise. He said, the words that I speak to you, my Father taught me what to say, and that I say, that I do. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, I came to do the will of Him that sent me. That's the fellowship of His Son. God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in 1 John 1 and 7 we're told by walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How do we conform to the image of the Son? By doing what He did. Thinking what He said. Or thinking what He thought. Saying what He said. Saying what He said. Thinking what He thought. In Philippians chapter 2, and reading from verse 1 through 7, chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What mind? Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How do we enter into the fellowship of his sufferings? The fellowship of the Son? By becoming obedient sons. From Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, Paul says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." That's the washing of water by the word. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." For if we sin willfully, why would he talk about sin here? Because he's saying, as you see the day approaching, you should be assembling yourselves more and more and more, not as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What does that mean? It means as we see the day approaching, we should be gathering together more and more and more to talk the word, to be in one another's presence, to lift up one another, and not sinning willfully, not disbelieving willfully by going our own way. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing what fellowship is, what it's all about. It's about a union, a communion, a communication, a sharing, having all things in common. And Father, we pray that as you would begin to work upon this local church here, Father, and as you would move us from Kentucky, we pray, Father, that we would grow spiritually by leaps and bounds, and that also you would gather into our midst, Father, brethren that would be of like mind to fellowship with us around the word. May we be a light, Father, as the Ephesian church was a light in their day. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Let's just turn to number 15 and we'll just worship a little bit here. We're going to sing that song, Hallelujah. Why don't we all just rise?
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is my Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Is Alpha and Omega. He is Alpha.
once more. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.